attention and your prayers on behalf of our brother and on behalf of yourself, that you would receive the message the Lord has. So I'll give you Priest Stephen Kimball.
Thank you, Brother Adam. I think he was worried that I had abandoned him. He asked him if I had any shenanigans today, and I promptly left. No, she can't. There are shenanigans by his definition. Greetings. Good evening. I welcome you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I ask for your prayers tonight. First of all, I will note the hour. It is 25 minutes after the hour. Apparently just affiliation with the Yates family gets you going extra time. Nope, you can't say anything. It was well, Sister Michelle. That website is excellent, but I could not give her a hard time about that. That's impossible. Good. Wonderful. Well, again, I greet you. I greet everybody here. Is that showing up on the screen? I'd ask an African to read that for me, but you know what that verse is, and that's not my intent. What I really need right now is a volunteer. Thanks, Logan. And I'll be honest, I had Logan, because he's, bring that chair for me, please. I thought of Logan because he's got the demeanor that I want without.
Where do you want?
Right up here, with me. You want to guess who's sitting in that chair? Let's get that table first, though. If you don't mind, yeah. Yeah, let's get that, grab that side. Aaron, I assume Logan can be seen here, right?
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Look like I'm in front of the court or something.
Have a seat. Well, temporally speaking, of course, life is interesting, is it not? And by temporally speaking, I'm purposely not necessarily mentioning scriptures here. On this first part in this demonstration, that's going to help me really give you a very simple, very broad, so to speak, message that I'll give you here. You'll figure it out in a second. But life is funny, right? Life throws all kinds of things on you. As a little child, some of them here today, you're really kind of at the mercy of your parents. You're being taught whatever you're being taught. You're learning that, and at some point, you get a little older, and you get to what I call the age of accountability, where, to quote a country song, you're old enough to know better, but you're too young to care at that point. And then you get to an adult, and you don't have that excuse anymore. And so life throws things at you. You never know what's going to come. Don't worry, I've got a method here. Do me a favor. Let's change this up. For our brother Placido, would you do me a favor and read verse 15 for me there? This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. If you would read it for me. All of you. I said an honor. So here's a very popular scripture. Would you open that for me? Here's a very popular scripture, and it is not really the premise of my scripture here, but it asks several questions. It talks about that hope. Certainly a scripture that I've referenced probably several times, and certainly I pray about it. We desire to have this scripture in our life, and you can ask the question, what is hope? How do I hope? What is this hope I want to share with people? It's excellent. You can open that too. And You know, it's a good question. We're not going to answer that question tonight, in a sense, I mean, in general. Not sure I'm going to fit everything on this table. But anyways, back to life. Life does some funny things, right? Sometimes life gives you lemons. And of course, you know, the old saying, you make lemonade, right? Then you find somebody whose life has given them a swimming pool and you have a party, right? But you never know what life is going to give you. This page there. Sometimes life gives you some type of whale with a horn on its nose with little sequins, and the little sequins go back and forth and make different colors, right? Incoming, Paige. We're giving presents out today, okay? It's a good catch. You know, and you've got all these tools and these tricks and these things are coming at you, and you don't know what to do. You know, sometimes you get little green, little squishy things, and little eyes pop out. However that works, you know, and that's fun and exciting. You know, and all of these things, I'm sure you could find some interest in. These are weightlifting gloves, I've heard. It's a TV remote. You know, sometimes you get little items like this right here. You probably don't know what that is, just showing it to you, but you know, you don't know what to do with it, right? And just in case you need a camera or a light that does work, right? Got too many things up here, but this is life in a temporal sense. If you don't have a religious background, you know these are the things that are thrown at you, and this is the items that you get to attend to on a daily basis. And I want to read, start some scriptures here besides 1 Peter. And I want to start, you doing okay?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Excellent. Well, then you're doing exactly what I want you to do. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Now, I'm going to explain real quick. I don't see anybody here that's terribly new to this gospel, but I'm going to explain what's happening here, because I'm going to read several scriptures that's based around this time frame, if you will. And if you remember very briefly, of course, the people left, all the Israelites left Egypt led by Moses, and they went out into the desert, and at some point they do something wrong, and we'll talk about that. They're led by Moses, and at some point after 40 years, what happened? You know, they're going to go over into the land filled with milk and honey. And this is if you read Deuteronomy, this is kind of Moses giving them the last set of directions. The more I read this, the more I get excited. There's so many neat things in here, he says to the people. But I want to read here. This is chapter 28. 1 through 14, and again, this is just before they're about to head over. After 40 years being out in the desert, and these are some of the things that he says to them, and I want to start with this. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. You still doing okay? Anything there that interests you? Like that? Oh, I know what I was going to do. I apologize. Yes. Go ahead. Do something. All right. I'm winging this one. So Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, it says this, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe and do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou wilt take the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give unto thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of these words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And so here again, Moses talking to the people of Israel as they're about to go over into this land of milk and honey. And keep in mind, Moses is not going to get to go over there. He's going to have to stay on this side. And so he's giving these directions. And as I read this, and the reason I love this so much, is this is just as applicable today to us as a people. These blessings, you know, it says it all over the book in here that we can be blessed if we will serve him, if we will follow his commandments. And here he's talking to these Israelites, and you can read this passage of scripture and you can take this into your heart and believe it the same way, can you not? It is very much applicable to us today. And so, did I disappear? I'll get it back. And so, you're not doing anything, Logan.
No, I didn't want to make a mess all over your awesome tabletop with these
pens. Yeah, don't. Well, use those pens. That's glitter glue, by the way.
Oh.
Be careful with that. And so as I read this passage of scripture, you know, and I talk about this temporal life and the things that we have, and as Logan sits here, you know what? Logan's asked the question, why in the world am I up here? He's probably said that in his head, right? And I've given him no direction whatsoever, have I? I just put a bunch of stuff in front of him. I have told him now to play with the spirograph thingy right now, but I've given him nothing. He has nothing. Where is the place of learning that he has to go to? And we know in life's lessons, but in this case, I've given him nothing. You know, and think how much of the world reacts today. They have nothing. Or I should say that they think they have been given nothing. They have no tools, no anything. They're just living life. I mean, they're seeking something. And they don't know what it is that they seek, I think. And you see people that seek entertainment, and they're looking for the next high. And you see these people that are built on this these adrenaline rushes, and they're always going to the next level. And I get some of that, but we don't have direction, and it gets difficult, right? Logan looks silly up here. Logan probably feels silly up here.
Is there something,
right?
Something specific you want me to draw for you?
No, you're not allowed to ask questions. Just do something. Turn with me to John 1. And this is 1 through 5. And it says, the Word was God. The same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And here in the scripture, of course, it's talking about Jesus Christ as the Word. And he is the Word, and he is to be listened to. He was in the beginning. You know, he created all things. He was there at the beginning. And we believe these things, do we not? So, you know, as we get through this, really, you know, my message is to read the Word of God, the importance and why we should read the Word of God. I don't know if this is going to work or not. All right, Logan, do me a favor. That's beautiful. He's going. Here, we can show you, can't we? All right, Logan's going. I don't know if that's Mickey Mouse or what that is.
I'm just going along with what I'm doing.
All right. But again, no direction from me. Logan, can you put this together for me? That's really the step. That's the step I want. While he's putting that together, you don't have to turn here, but I'm going to go to Matthew. And I'll read 4. Matthew 4, 1 through 4. I'm sorry, I have a new Bible here, so I'm going to stumble here. It'll probably be even louder when I turn the pages at them. Matthew 4, 1 through 4 says this. And this is a very popular scripture you've read many times. This is the point when Christ is tempted. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of Man, command thee these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so here we go. We get in this conversation. The Word was with God, and that was Christ. And here's Christ telling us. That you know, every word that proceedeth, that we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if we go back to the story in which Christ references, I believe references in Deuteronomy chapter 8. How's that going? Deuteronomy 8, and I'm going to read 1 through 9, I think 1 through 9. All the commandments which I command me this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto our fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. The raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did it the foot swell these 40 years. And you notice here we are, we're back into Moses speaking to the Israelites as they're about to go across, and he's telling them, you know, he's giving him these words of encouragement. Thou shalt also consider thine heart, verse 5, that as the man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. How's that going, Logan?
Well, I can see you swap the cars, but I'm putting together what I can between the two.
Sorry. I hope you're not hot, because I am. So Logan's right. I tricked him. I didn't give him the proper tools to do the task, so he's trying to put... he's trying to mix two vehicles here, trying to put the Wrangler together with the Mustang GT, right? There you go. I want the Jeep.
You want the Jeep?
I want the Jeep. You can put them both together once you get the Jeep done. And so here with Logan, I've tricked him, right? I took two models, and I did take the six-year-old one so that it would be easy to put together. But I mixed up the tops. I put the Wrangler top in the other box with the GT, and the GT in the Wrangler box, so he couldn't put it together. You know, in the whole gist of this sermon is that we've got to read the Word of God. You know, these things that I'm saying right now, I mean, what value? Are you going to trust what I'm telling you today? I mean, I hope there is a level of trust there. But you certainly have to verify. You know, what happens, you know, when you come in this world and you're looking for these scriptures, you've got to read them. We're commanded over and over again to read these scriptures. You know, and this is what life looks like in an easy way to look at it. When you don't know what's going on, you have no clue. I mean, these are our directions. The Bible and the Book of Mormon are our directions. And it is important to read. And look, we're not all going to be experts, you know. Some people, the Lord has given a greater grasp of things, you know. If we don't take the time to study, we're not going to figure these things out. We're not going to be good at it. You know, sometimes you have the very, very basic understanding of things, and you need the complex understanding. You know, we're talking in Sunday school about grace and its meaning. You know, how do you have an in-depth conversation about grace if all you remember are a few scriptures, if you haven't studied? How do you know that when you're reading this statement in Deuteronomy, you know, who it's talking to and who are the characters? How do we know who's involved and what's happened and the backstories? You know, all of these things give you greater understanding of the scriptures when we take time to read them. Now, I don't know how anybody feels, but, you know, at the start of the year, there's always some sense of energy that happens just because it's the start of a new year. For me, I don't feel like it ever turned, but, you know, it's something strange happened this year for me. And I'd be curious at some point if anybody else felt the same thing. I always have that sense of newness, but there seems to be this extra drive, and it's not just caffeine, it's not just something has changed in my life. I have this extra drive this year. And part of this sermon tonight was, I've started reading again. I'm a big fan of reading cover to cover, every single book that we have. Front to back, you know, and be honest, you don't have to necessarily read it cover to cover, but don't miss a single word that is written. I mean, if we're to feast on the Word of God, read them all. Don't miss them. Read the begats. You know, they're hard. You can skim past the begats, but read the entire Word. Go through it. And I'm going through it now. And again, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read through it. Mark, we talk about this all the time. Mark is one of the most avid readers I know. And Mark, even today, we'll talk about it. I know Mark full well. He'll read something and go, I don't remember reading that. You know, and many times. How many times have you read and it hits you differently? Sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. That's a new kid term. But it does. It hits you differently. You get a new understanding of what the scripture means. And here I am reading through Genesis, and I wouldn't consider myself a biblical scholar, but I got a lot of questions in Genesis. There's some strange stuff. I even went through the study Brian did one time. I wasn't here for it, but I wish I was. I got some great questions in Genesis that I don't get. And I don't think anybody can answer them, quite honestly. But there's just... And I don't mean this to take away from the Bible, but in my mind, there's some strange stuff going on there. You know, Adam and Eve conceived a whole family there. You know, how did that happen? And then there's more family members, and you'll see where I'm going with that. You know, but we have to get an expertise in life, right? We saw Michelle up here giving us an audiovisual demonstration where she was using terminology that 10 years ago she would have never used. You know, she says she doesn't know a lot, but she can hunt and peck with the best of them. I've seen her do it, you know, and she's learned something. You know, here's something for you. Don't want to embarrass anybody here. besides Logan. How many of you think you can solve for x on that? This is what's called algebra, right? Gives many of you headaches, right? There's a few hands going up, but I'm not going to embarrass anybody going. You know, you can get this, you know? And to me, when I look at this, I've studied this a ton of times, right? Right? What's the answer, Sarah? What's the answer? There we go. X can either be plus 4 or minus 4, can't it, right? 4 squared is 16, minus 16 equals 0. You see that right here? X squared, when you substitute 4 in there, if you put minus 4, and if minus 4 times minus 4 becomes positive, it becomes 16 minus 16 is 0, right? And there's a simple way, you know, Right, and as you're learning this, you learn to do, you break this, you reduce this, and you break this down, and you go x minus 4 times x minus 4, right? See, I've even forgotten this. Or x plus 4. There we go. Right, and that's how you get to the answer, and some of you are still going, what? Right? But you know what? I've studied this. I can't tell you how many times I did quadratic equations. Thousands of times. This is like so easy for me. You know? This is what the Lord desires of us when it comes to scriptures. Okay? Not that you're going to be an expert and then it goes through quadratic equations in the Bible, but that they're scriptures He wants you to know. He wants you to be intimate with them, to understand them, to obey them. You know, the Lord isn't going to call everybody up here and do a study on Revelations. Thanks, Jared, by the way. You know, not everybody's going to do that. Not everybody's going to be that expert. But the very common scriptures we have to become familiar with. If you have not read these scriptures from front to back, do it. I can't encourage you enough. How are you going to answer any question? How do you know when I make a comment about reading the Word of the Lord? How do you know what this hope is? If you can't describe it in Scripture, what's your proof? What's your sense? This is why I believe it. Religion is a faith-based religion. I'm never going to be able to prove to anybody anything without the Lord doing it for them. You know, but I can go, you know, this is why I believe it. This is it. Without this, I mean, what, you know, we're like Logan up here, taking way too long putting that Jeep together. Right? But I mean, he's got all this stuff. What does this mean? I mean, he's got a crochet set here from Animal Planet. He's got, you know, little squishy with big eyes and a hammer and a drill and a flashlight and weightlifting gloves. You know, that's what life is, walking through that. If you can't, that's excellent. Let's look at the Jeep. Look at that. Isn't that much easier when, whoops. What did I do? See? There, Logan has put the Jeep together. It's a thing of beauty right there. All right, you can put that together. I want you to put that together. And when you're done with that, you can get up, but you got to go take those and give them to somebody, okay?
Anyone.
You know, and so that's what life is like. And I know this is a silly demonstration. That's what Stephen does, a silly demonstrations. But I want you to understand that. Let's go ahead and read on here. I'm going to move to. I'm gonna skip some of this. Let's go to Joshua. And I want to read, this is chapter 1 of Joshua. And what I was going to do, I was going to go through Numbers because I kind of wanted to go through this story briefly. And just to remind you of this story again. I mean, this is, you know, when I'm reading cover to cover through the scriptures, you know, sometimes it's like two or three chapters and I'm like, so boring. And I don't mean that to be negative. Sometimes it is boring. I'm sorry, but it's important to read it. And sometimes you get into these stories like Joshua, and you can't stop reading it. Here are the people of Israel. They send over Moses as commanded by the Lord to pick, you know, one person out of the 12 tribes. And they send these 12 people over into this land of milk and honey to go check it out, you know. And they come back and they start to, I'm not sure if it's Caleb or who describes it, but they start describing this land and all of these things that the Lord said was there. But then they start going, well, there's all these giants and there's all these wicked people. And they were terrified. You know, and Joshua and Caleb both stood up at some point and they pleaded with the people. You know, if the Lord's going to give us this commandment, we need to get over there and do it. And what did they do? They murmured. One of my favorite words. You know, I'm a murmur. I get into my murmuring phases, you know. Oh, woe is me. And that's what these people were. Think about all the things they had seen in life. You know, amazing miracles that they got to see, and they're still resisting the Lord. And so guess what happens? They get to spend 40 years wandering in the desert. Except for Caleb and Joshua, they get to go over to this land of milk and honey. That whole group passed away, and it was the next generation that came up. Moses still lived, but he got to look over into the land. But Joshua and Caleb get to go with him. And this is Joshua speaking to the people. This is after Moses' death. And I want to read, starting here, I want to read 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto this great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the day of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be of good courage? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, again, another beautiful scripture. He passes them, but he tells them, you know, this law is not supposed to pass away from you. You are to follow it. You are not to stray to the right or to the left. And he says that, and he tells them, all these things I'm going to give unto you, I'm worthy to follow. And you've got to read this. You've got to understand this as you get into the scriptures. And he tells us over and over again that we have got to study. 2 Timothy, I'm going to put this up on the screen here. 2 Timothy 3:15-17 says this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, how do we know these things? How do we know these things are true? You know, we can always, you hear people that, well, you're pulling that out of scripture, you know. I'm pulling this out. I'm segmenting. How do we know these things are true? You know, how do we know what the commandments are? How do we know what the scripture is here if we don't read them? You know, all of these things, he says it right there, that, you know, why we want to read these. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, we desire to be a righteous people. You know, and so here's another commandment. If we read, we could go into 2 Nephi chapter 3. This is page 92. Second Nephi chapter 3, 28 through 30 says this, and this is Nephi talking, and upon these I write the things of my soul, and many of the scriptures were engraven upon the plates of brass, for my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon things which I have seen and heard. You know, and here are these passages of scripture. He's passionate about what he's writing, that he knows these things are going to be passed on to his people. And he's asking us again to read them. You know, I'm going to say this probably 10 times in the next 5 or 6 minutes. Well, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to say it. You know, we can't understand scriptures completely unless we read them. You know, how many times if you talk to anybody, the other interesting part is you're not left alone. The Lord is there to give you scriptures, you know. And as a member of this church or as attending a body, that there are people you can go ask questions, their ministry that have given that, you know, I don't understand that. Come explain that to me, okay? I'm going to have a conversation with somebody. Somebody explain Genesis, parts of Genesis to me. But there's nothing wrong with asking that question, you know. But how do I know? How do I know when I go ask Brian that question? You know, how do I know he's right? How do I know Adam this morning? You know, all those things he said. How do I know that they're right? You know, again, it is faith-based. But we can go to the Scripture and get our own understanding of these things and converse and try to get the understanding in the Lord as we read these things. You know, we think about all the things that are in there that we read, you know, time and time again. You know, we can read about why we're on this earth. We can go to chapter 19 of Alma and talk about probation and what this life is for and why we were given it. We can go to John 14. We can talk about this Comforter and this Holy Ghost. You know, what is that? People talk about it all the time. I hear about this Holy Spirit. What is it? You know, and if I've got it, what value? You know, the world today will tell you what? That those things don't exist. There aren't dreams and miracles. People don't get talked to. You're a weirdo if you're hearing voices. You're a weirdo if you follow directions, right? Matthew 6, Alma 16, you know, they teach us to pray. They teach us what to pray for and where to pray and how to pray. You know, if you don't do these things, you're at the mercy of somebody else telling you these things, you know. And again, you know, they're experts, you know. You go to the people that you know and trust. You know, if I want to know where all the good blue cheese in the world is, right? I'm not going to go see my children. I'm going to go see Jared. So Jared knows blue cheese, right? That's who I'm going to talk to. You're going to go to the expert that's involved. And I say that because I made some blue cheese dressings pretty good. You have to try it. I almost brought it with me, actually. But my point is you're not left alone to do these things. Don't be intimidated by the scriptures. Just read them. You know, every night with my kids, you know, that all four of them there, it's just been kind of my mission every night after prayers together. We read the scriptures together, and I make them read these passages, you know, and there's passages in there that we read, and I'll have no comment whatsoever, you know. And thankfully, they don't go, Stephen, what does that mean? Because I'm going to go, I'm not really sure. I'd have to study it pretty in-depthly. I'm not the master of these things. But it's important to read them and to study them. In Mormon, chapter 3, this is on page 704, verses 30 through 33. You done?
Yeah, I just didn't want to interrupt you.
All right, go ahead. You can go.
I got you a gift.
You're giving them to me?
Yeah.
You can't give them to me. Go give them to those kids. Sorry, Mormon 3, 30 through 33. And this is again on page 704. I guess I got to get there first. There it is. 30 through 33. Therefore, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and lay hold upon the gospel. Sorry. Of Christ, which shall be set before you not only in this present, but also in the record that shall come unto the Gentiles from the Jews. Which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you? For behold, this is written for the intent that you may believe that if you may believe, and if you may believe that, you will believe this also. And if you believe this, you will know concerning your fathers, and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them. And you will also know that you are a remnant of the seed of Jacob, therefore are you numbered among thy people in First Covenant. And so you see here, he tells us, you know, there are things in history we got to know. I'll be honest, you know, as I sit there and listen to Adam's study, anytime they get into apologetics, I can't do it. It's like trying to understand eternity or something. It blows my mind. You know, it's so hard to argue with something you have such a hard time, you know, how can you not read the scriptures and see all the things that we're commanded to do? And over the years, you know, as a witness to this, over the years, as I see this picture forming in my mind, you know, this isn't me put as a young man sitting at a table with a bunch of goofy stuff, sitting up here on my own trying to figure out what I'm doing. The Lord has a purpose. He's put this together. There is a purpose. There is a plan. He gave us this word. You know, we don't always understand all the prophecies, but there's all these prophecies. There's this direction that we're heading. And you don't see that taught in the world today. You don't see that taught for those that don't even attend any church at all. You know, those are the people I think about. You know, what do you do? They need to understand it. And the Lord will reach out to them. I'll tell you, my conversion, as I was doing this study, I got to thinking, I'm going to have to tell this testimony, which I've told before. But I can't help, because this is what converted Stephen Kimball to this gospel. Here I was as a young man. I told you this. I'd done these things. But at any point, short story, the Lord put it on my heart to read the scriptures, to open them up, to study, to find out what it is you believed. You know, and that was the first time I read the Book of Mormon from front to back. I'd attended church all my life. I'd been to church. To be honest, I mean, that probably was my age of accountability at 24 years old. That was probably the time where the Lord called me out. You know, before then, I was like a leaf in the wind, you know. I was just floating about, and yeah, I believed. I'm a member of the church. I'm doing these things. But at that point, the Lord said, read. Read these scriptures and tell me what they say. You know, and so that's why I'm so passionate about reading and encouraging people to read these scriptures, because they're of great value. You know, you can't defend that belief without understanding them and knowing them. You know, you can't go out in the world today and somebody says something to you and you want to have a discussion with them about what they said, or you want to teach them about this hope that is within you, but you're too embarrassed because you don't have the scriptures or you don't feel like you're knowledgeable, you know. Read and read again and read again. The Lord will open up that avenue to you. So I want to end in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm going to read 16 through 22 here. Make sure I got this right. Yeah. You know, the last thing that I want to talk about is who is this God that had these scriptures put before us? Who is this word that was given to us, and this Christ that gave his life for us? Who is he? You know, why is it, you know, if I'm just reading this, you know, willy-nilly, you know, what's the point? You know, but there is a purpose. You know, if we read Revelations 21 and 22, a beautiful description of what our end game is, where we want to be. Revelations 21 and 22. Yeah, it's a scary book as you read some of it, but read 21 and 22. There's nothing scary about it. It's a beautiful story. This is a beautiful story of who our God is. Chapter 10 of Deuteronomy 16 through 22. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. And this, again, talking to the same people, absolutely applicable to our lives today. For the Lord your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, is mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, thou shalt serve him, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God that hath done these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude. You know, this God, when you read this passage of Scripture, you know, and you see these terrible, great and terrible things, and you hear fear of the Lord, you know, that maybe sounds scary to somebody who doesn't know Scriptures. You know, what? Why would I want to fear anything? You know, and as you read the Scriptures, you realize that fear is love. That fear is based off of that opportunity to get to heaven, because he is going to execute his judgment. But he wants us to love him. And when we love him, just like those people, those Israelites, which we are now an adopted, I believe we're an adopted heir in. And if you don't believe that, read the Scriptures. We can show you where it says that, where it talks about that. But here he is telling these people of all these blessings that are to come to them by following him. And again, what we come to at the very end. So again, I can't stress enough, like I said, I've got this personal testimony of what the Scriptures did to me when the Lord asked me to read them, and I listened to him, and my world changed dramatically at that point. You know, it was like some giant light went off in my life. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't instantaneous. I don't want to give that impression. It was over a period of years. Currently 20-some years, and still going. You know, that light grows, that understanding grows, and I'm thankful to my God. I'm thankful for my time here with you, and again, I was short 10 minutes if you do the math properly, and if I have to, I'll get an algebra and show you that I did properly, okay? But I thank you for your time. I love each one of you. I ask for your prayers for my family. I don't know what it is. I'm curious if anybody else has that feeling this year, if it's just, you know, again, but there's something different happening right now, and I feel that in my heart. Maybe it's just a personal thing. You know, maybe I've got some great trial coming, you know, and the Lord's preparing me, or maybe there's something that's going to happen for all of us, you know, if I'm not the only one. But, you know, look for what the Lord has for you and for each of us, and let us prosper in his name. Thank you.